Hey, this is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com. We are here in Chicago at the Anthrax Show talking with Scott Ian about his guitars, gear, all of that. You want to start by telling us about the guitars you're using every night?
Sure. It's pretty easy. I have my own signature model with Jackson guitars, so most of the show is based around those. This is my main one. It's really heavy.
Here, I'll move over this way.
It's heavy. I have to say this is as heavy as a Les Paul, which is weird for a stretch 8, but it's solid maple, so it's pretty thick. But anyway, yeah, it's my T-1000 Soloist. This specific one has my son's name in the inlay, Revel Young. But yeah, this 2-hum Floyd. This is a kill switch, which I don't really use all that often, but it's there to have fun just in case. But yeah, I mean, this is my main. I use this probably most of the show.
What pickups are in it?
Seymour Duncan JB in the bridge, and I don't even know what's in the neck, truthfully. It's a Duncan, but I don't even know what they threw in there. Do you know? Is it a 50?
I have no idea.
No idea what's in the neck. I don't use it.
Yeah.
I could actually say during the whole set, I don't use the neck pickup once. So I could just take it out and have a hole there, put a sock in it like Malcolm Young used to do. So yeah, that's my main. Sounds really good.
And so is that a custom one that was made for you with the inlay, or is it mostly stock as to
your signature is? The actual inlay that usually comes on my signature is these lightning bolts, which they named high voltage because I was inspired by Angus to do the lightning bolt inlay. So normally they come with these. That's a custom one with my son's name on it. Yeah, just this. Another one of my SIG models.
But this one you just did away with the neck pickup in this one.
Yeah, you know, most of the time I only use a 1-hum, but I'm really hungover. Jackson, they wanted to offer it in a 1-hum and a 2-hum version. And it turns out, for some crazy reason, the 2-hums tend to sound better than the 1-hums, which never used to be the case. You would think with less cutting and more wood that the 1-hum would always sound better, but for the 2-hums they've been making me actually sound better than the 1-hums for some reason. But anyway, yeah, this has got one of these Anthrax logo things on this one, and I think this might actually become available next year as a mid-price. Yeah. I use that one only for maybe one song. This one is...
Is it the same song every night?
Yeah, I pretty much have it down. I started using this one for what? In My World? Yep. The Flag? Yeah, like In My World and Be All End All, the last song of the set. So I've been using this one for the last two songs of the set. This one, Among the Living, which is... this is actually the mid-price. This one is... Jackson did a deal with Guitar Center. And they did 250 of these limited edition for like $699. And I'm playing, this is an exact one. I actually bought this at Guitar Center in Philadelphia because the prototype one I have is at home, and I felt like I should be playing this on tour and helping to promote it. And I haven't even changed the pickup. This is just some weird Duncan designed, like kind of really cheap version of a Duncan. And I didn't even take it out and change it. I plugged it into my rig and it sounded awesome. So I didn't put a JB or one of my pickups in it. And I'm playing it totally stock, just as I bought it from the store, literally.
So always a good testament to a signature model when you can do that.
Yeah, especially at the price of this guitar. I was kind of worried that it was going to sound like crap. Like my prototype sounds good, but maybe the production ones would suck. And this is proof that they don't suck. So yeah, the Flag one will probably be the mid-price next year after this one's done. But anyway, yeah, I can't say enough. The fact that you could get a guitar for that price and it actually plays as well as all my expensive handmade ones. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. This one's super custom. I only use this one for the song In the End. And it was painted by... these two artists, Nub and Mike Learn, they're both custom, instrument painters, as well as I think they both worked on that one of those motorcycle chopper shows, the one with the dad and the son who always get in fights. Anyway, they do super custom artwork, and they did this for me, the song In the End is basically a tribute to our friends Daryl and Ronnie, and so they made this guitar for me, and I've been playing it every night on that song. This won't be available as a mid-price.
That's awesome. That's great looking, though.
The story behind this is, this was a guitar I had back in like 1980, 81. Is a Fernandez, which I kind of lost track of at some point in the 80s. And then cut to last year on tour, I see this guitar on eBay. Someone's selling it, but with a neck, and the headstock was completely broken, and there was no pickup, no Floyd, just holes in it. And I was like, where the hell? Well, who has that, and why don't I have it? It's my guitar. So I contacted the guy. Turns out he's a guy I know. Was it Gear Geeks? Yeah, Gear Geeks, I think, down in Huntington Beach. I had bought some stuff off him before in the past. So we ended a meeting. I traded him. I'm trading him one of these Among the Living guitars for it, actually, as soon as I can get my hands on one. And got it back. Sent it over to Jackson, actually, and said, what do you guys think like about just putting this back together for me somehow? I know it's not really, you know, what you do, but I'd like to get this thing operating again. And they looked at it as a cool project, almost like this would be like my Frankenstein or something now. So, yeah, they put it all back together. We took a, this is a Strat neck. It's actually a Fender neck. And I had them do the EVH profile on the neck because I love the way those EVH guitars feel. Did the EVH profile on the neck, and they threw it all back together for me. So, yeah, it's kind of like this weird Frankenstein now, Fernandez body. Fender neck, brand new Floyd on it, you know, new JB, but it sounds really good, and I play it every night for Death Rider, and I guess it's fitting because I would have recorded that song on Fistful of Metal with this guitar, I think. So it's kind of
all
cool.
Of the stickers and everything was stuff you had done in the 80s.
Yeah.
So what's the whole duct tape fabric stuff going on the back?
We used to wear like back in like 82, 83, 84. Our singer used to make these chainmail like belts and wrist, you know, whatever, gauntlets to wear in your arm and shit like that. And I had this crazy metal belt that I would wear on stage. So I think I had ended up putting this on back then just to keep the back from getting completely shredded by this belt that I was wearing every day.
And it survived.
Still, yeah, I mean, it's still here, all beat to hell, but I'm stoked that I ended up getting it back. I didn't even know I was missing it. This is by a guy named Stephen McSwain. It's McSwain Guitars. He built this for me for this thing they're trying to put together, like some type of reality show, I think, about this guy and his custom guitar shop. And so they built this for me, and they shot a bunch of stuff with me playing it. And it's obviously a zombie guitar. I wish I could give you all the details, but I know like this piece of pine is actually from I can't remember the name of the cemetery. It's the actual cemetery where they filmed Night of the Living Dead outside of Pittsburgh. So they went as far as to like actually take this pine from the church that's there at the cemetery. They buried the piece of wood in the cemetery for a month, like just to give it like that zombie kind of. And
get the mojo in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he did all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think these are actual coffin nails from a coffin from that time period at the cemetery that they use for the fret markers. This piece of rib cage was actually ripped off a zombie from The Walking Dead, Greg Nicotero, who does all the effects for Walking Dead. They went to Greg's shop, and he pulled it off like a zombie and gave it to him and said, here, stick that on a guitar. So they did. So it's got all kinds of zombie goodness. One of my favorite parts about it is the hole through the headstock, just the way it's kind of eaten away. Like, you can't even see it really, but I just love the detail of that. So yeah, my zombie guitar, which I've been using on and off on the song Fight Until You Can't, which is about killing zombies, so I guess it's kind of fitting.
That's awesome.
So I guess I've killed my share using this.
Sorry, and are these all tuned the same, or do you use any different tunings?
The In the End guitar with Daryl and Ronnie on it is a drop C sharp, and then everything else half step. And then I use the flag as a backup for that on In the End and or what other song? Devil You Know, which is also in that tuning. But once those songs are done, everything then just goes up to normal E flat tuning.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of strings are you using?
D'Addario, and it's like a custom set.
Yeah, 59, 48, 32, 20, 14, 11.
So pretty heavy, obviously, on the bottom end. They're kind of like bridge cables. They tear my hands up pretty good. But I'm getting used to them.
And what are you using for picks?
Also D'Addario. Here's some of my custom ones that they've been making for me. This just got the little Anthrax Thraxagram logo thing and my signature on the other side. And then there's these Dharma picks with the kind of the Anthrax Dharma logo from Lost and my signature.
Those are pretty heavy too.
Yeah, they're like equal to like a .88, I think.
It looks like you kind of scratch them up for grip there.
Yeah, that's a trick I learned from Dimebag ages ago. He would scratch his picks like that, so then I started doing it. It just felt really good. UR4s?
UR4. UR40.
Yep, two of those. I got a Monster power conditioner thing. What else?
Using some...
Shure antenna distribution system. Couldn't tell you what that does. It's just a multi-selector for, you know, different guitars, switching guitars. My pedal tray.
So what are you using the pedals for? Or do you use any of these more than others?
Different sounds for... this is in all the time, the CAE Boost. I run with my Channel 2 on my amps. So the Channel 2 on my amps is more like a Marshall JCM 800 kind of tone. This just gives it that little extra push that I need to get the edge and the chunk and the gain I need out of it. So this, in my main rhythm tone all night, this boost side stays on all the time. The chorus and delay get turned on for the Among the Living intro. Antisocial has kind of a clean intro, which the chorus is on. The phaser gets turned on, I think maybe one time on my guitar harmony part and in the end, I think. And then, actually, those two noise gates are actually out of the loop at this point. I'm only running the one noise gate in the front, I believe. So, yeah, pretty simple. My gig is mostly just straight rhythm all night. So, just a couple of little patches for certain effects. It's a Randall signature amp that I built together with them and Dave Friedman out in LA at Rack Systems. And we basically, it's their modular series, which they don't even, strangely enough, they've discontinued. They don't do it anymore. So you can't even get this anymore. But, you know, those are the modules that pop out in each channel. And so basically designed three modules, three channel amp, channel one being my clean channel, which is, I called it Malcolm because it's basically an AC/DC tone-ish. I could get super, super clean, but I would use channel one if I was going for a more straight-up rock sound. Yeah. Channel two I called 1987 because I basically modeled that one off of my 80s JCM 800s and my tone that I was running back then, which you could get certainly a great heavy rock tone all the way up into metal if you're, you know, running a boost with it. And then channel three I called the Nuts because that's more of a modern gain channel and it's got all the gain you'll ever need, you know. And sometimes I'll kick over to that. I'll kick over to that sometimes just for a feedback or something if I need a little more gain at the end of something.
So as far as the effects go, are you controlling them on the floor or is he controlling them back here?
It's a combination, actually. Anders has the ground control back here. You can see he has things labeled and he's controlling all the punches as far as like the intro to Antisocial, which is clean. So obviously I go out, I start that, it's clean, and then on the cue, he just kicks it back over to the rhythm sound. Or same thing, I do my intro to Among the Living, he kicks it in on the cue, you know, to go to the heavy tone. And then obviously up front, I'm running my wah for the solo and Got the Time. I haven't been really using my whammy pedal at all. I sometimes use it just for fun or to make a noise here and there, but the show's gotten like just so good and tight and I'm really happy with everything I'm doing, so I haven't really been using it. Maybe I'll find a place for it again. And then there's a tuner out there, which I don't think I've used yet on the tour. I don't even know really why I have one out there, but...
He does that all back here.
Yeah, so, it's all done back there. I don't go out of tune. It's one of the reasons also why I use such heavy gauge strings is I could beat the shit out of them and they're not going to go. I mean, you could ask Anders. I hand them a guitar back here. It's generally, I mean, they're in tune.
Yeah.
I don't go out of tune. I'd have to be literally like grabbing them and going like this with the guitar or something with, you know, when you're using a 59 on the bottom, you're not going to go out of tune.
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
What do you like about that one?
It just sounds great. I've tried so many, you know, Dunlop over the years has sent me so many different wahs and so many over the years. You know, I have an old Crybaby at home that sounds really good. I don't like bringing it on tour anymore. And I guess maybe that's just that CAE wah when that first came out and they sent me one. It's just sounded as good as any old wah I've ever had. Like, it just sounds great. It's got a huge amount of throw. It really, like, you know, I feel like it really digs in when you step on that thing. You really dig in with it, and it's just the tone of it is great, and it's got a boost as well, which kicks in, so it's nice for the solo. I just have that boost turned on, and but it's all about the tone. It's just based on it. It just sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to show us around, even hungover.
No worries.
We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
This is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com.